Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the OKI Group conference call on the first half 2019 financial results. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Anton Farlinkov, Head of Corporate Development. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anton Farlinkov, Head of Corporate Development at OKI Group. The team we have on the call includes CEO of the company, Armin Berger, CFO Konstantin Arabidis, and myself. Our call will start with update on the group financial performance and key developments provided by Armin, followed by a Q&A session. All discussed numbers are based on new accounting standard, if not stated otherwise. That's all on my side, and I hand over the call to Armin, please.
Thank you, Anton. Dear ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to welcome you to our first half 2019 financial results conference call. After a very difficult start, especially in our hypermarkets in January and February of this year, month by month, we had a very steady recovery. Overall, we can be very satisfied with our first half's year results. I will give you now some of the key figures. Organic group total revenue, excluding the effect of the supermarket business sale, increased by 3.4% year-on-year. Organic revenue generated by OK Hypermarket, excluding the effect of the supermarket business sale, increased by 0.4% year-on-year, with very positive momentum in the last couple of months, and we see this to continue. Revenue generated by DAR, our Discord format, grew by 36.8% year-on-year to ruble 8.61 billion, supported by steady growth in traffic and the average ticket, and also customer numbers. The group EBITDA grew by 3.9% year-on-year to ruble 6.34 billion, compared with ruble 6.1 billion in the first half 2018, while the EBITDA margin increased by 13 basis points year-on-year to 7.9%. OK's EBITDA decreased by 0.4% year-on-year to ruble 6.509 billion, while OK's EBITDA margin increased slightly to 9.1% due to a slight decrease in operating expenses as a percentage of revenue. The EBITDA generated by DAR improved from negative ruble 432 million, this is minus 6.9% of our sales in the first half 2018, to negative ruble 169 million, this is a minus 2% of sales. That means we had here a considerable better results in the first half of 2019, driven by new store openings and a higher like-for-like sales, and also relatively better buying conditions. Our group net debt position improved also by 2.3 billion ruble to 29.7 billion at the end of the first half 2019, in comparison with 32 billion ruble at the end of the first half 2018. I come now to the guidance for the year 2019. After careful consideration of our development, and we see here very positive aspects, we are revising our organic hypermarket's top-line growth guidance slightly upwards and now expect it to grow to a low single-digit number for the whole year. As before, we expect a double-digit like-for-like growth for DAR and plan to open 20 discounters in 2019. On our last call, I told you we will open up to 30 discounters. In the meantime, we decided, together with the board of directors, to exchange some of the rented locations we wanted to open into very good own locations and therefore open only 20 stores. From the own locations, on the other hand, we expect similar returns on investment as from these leased locations. Some words to dividends. Due to the positive development of our businesses, we will open and recommend to our board of directors to pay a dividend of approximately 5.6 cents in US dollar per share, which equals around 1 billion rubles in total. Let me talk about our strategy and initiatives that we made to keep the business on track. I allow myself to start with the hypermarkets. Firstly, the operational business in our stores. Here we concentrate currently on freshness. That means providing to the customer more freshness, more fruit and veg, better qualities and a wider assortment. On the other side, own production, also part of the freshness. We revised the assortment and also our product range to serve more the customer needs and the modern customer needs. Another key topic in operations is currently shelf availability. Here we want to be better present till the evenings in all areas of our businesses. And one big concern of our business, operational business, is the service and the friendly service. Here we launched a couple of training sessions with all our staff to improve this service level. Logistics. Supply chain optimization and logistic optimization is the main topic on this side of the business. We consider currently new warehouse locations to optimize the routes, that means the costs generated by logistic, and also the freshness in our stores. These are topics we currently investigate, and we will come soon to clear conclusions here. Commercials. One of the biggest topics in the commercial department currently is the assortment structure we want to follow. Here we want to have a clear structured assortment with a clearly defined entry level, a big middle segment for our families, and also a premium segment which covers all needs also for our premium customers. In our non-food business, we reshape currently the thinking regarding non-food, what products we want to have on sale, and how we clearly identify the non-food assortment of tomorrow, considering internet and considering all the competitive advantages other channels have. One of the top priorities is regional buying for us. Here we want to be closer to the customer. We want to have more regional products in the different regions we are operating to be much more in tune with the needs of the customers. Import, another top priority for us. We want to import more wine. We want to import more fruit and veg. We want, therefore, to buy cheaper as well. We cut out the middleman. Here we try to have synergies with our second company, DAR, our discount label. We import together and try to source as many synergies as possible. Our last initiatives currently is to relaunch our private labels. We currently redesign them, and we want, therefore, also after the redesign is done, relaunch these new designs in our store. Then store development, here two key initiatives. On the one side, we look for a new store concept which will make us more competitive in comparison to our competition, which is modern, which is trendy, which gives the customer the right shopping environment to shop with us and to enjoy their shopping. After this concept is launched, we want to renovate our stores in the next couple of years. Some key initiatives in DAR. Also here, we concentrate on freshness, the fresh side of the business, especially fruit and veg, and our bakery, which is something others don't have, where we stand out in the competitive environment. Shelf availability and also service are top priorities for us. On the commercial side, we fight for better buying conditions, for better gross profit. Together with OK, we buy our brands and also our private labels. Here, we raise currently a lot of synergies which help us to improve our margin. The cooperation with OK, therefore, is one of the top issues and criteria. Import as well is one of the top issues here again together with OK. On the development side, we prepare for a faster growth and for a faster store opening program in 2020. Here we want to open next year 30 to 40 stores. That means we want to speed up our development after we see very positive, encouraging developments in our balance sheet. Overall, ladies and gentlemen, we see a steady growth in all business units and expect this to continue in the second half of 2019. Thank you very much. I hand back to Anton.
Thank you, Armin. Operator, we're ready to take questions. Please, go ahead.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Thank you. We will take our first question from Alexei Krivoshapka from Prosperity. Please go ahead.
Armin, Konstantin, Anton, good afternoon. Thank you for your time. I actually have a question on store development. I was under the impression that you had some hypermarkets in the opening pipeline for this year. Can you comment on where you stand with respect to opening them right now? Another question has to do with your sale of land plots in Moscow. Why did you do that? Can you comment on the rationale? I guess those are the two main comments. Thank you.
Firstly, to your first question, there are no hypermarket openings planned this year. We only open discounters. In the hypermarket business, the next couple of years, to answer the next question as well already, we want to concentrate on renovating the stores and making them more attractive. The development will go, this is the second part of the business, into DAR. Here we want to open much higher store numbers so that we on the one side strengthen our hypermarket business as really the area where we earn our cash and keep it steady and growing. Again, this is a very important thing. And on the other side, we want to develop DAR to get the synergies out of higher sales and of higher store numbers to be profitable and have enjoyable figures there as well. The two land plots, this is a logical consequence of what I said now. We sold because we don't see them as key assets at the current time, and therefore, after we had a very good price for the two land plots, we decided to sell them.
Let me ask you as a follow-up question. Are there any other current hypermarket under construction or land plots which you intend to sell? And if so, I mean, how much do you think you could get as some sort of sale proceeds?
Currently, we don't have any hypermarkets under construction, and we don't plan to construct them. We want to enlarge two of our smaller stores. That's all what we do currently, but they are on around 1,700 square meter. Here we want to come to a square meterage which gives us a better operational result and better sales figures, one in St. Petersburg and one here in Moscow. Land plots, we have a couple where we are under negotiations, and whatever is not key for us for the next couple of years, and I told you we would like to concentrate on the renovations on this side, we will sell to generate cash and reduce our debts as we did this year.
Clear. And Armin, just a final question, if I may. When you talk about renovation, have you reconsidered the budget for renovation of your current hypermarket network? And if so, what are the amounts of money we're talking about? And what is your estimated potential impact from renovating of those stores on the revenue in EBITDA?
Mm-hmm. Good. We expect from the renovations, initially, obviously, each renovation you have to close for a certain amount of time. Therefore, you have a little drop in sales. Overall, we expect after the renovations a at least a growth of 10%. That's what we saw with two, three renovations we did. Therefore, a positive impact on the EBITDA and also on the sales side. The cost side, we have here in the budget around 150 million rubles, around 2 million euros, which where we think it's a sufficient amount of money to renovate our stores.
Clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next question from Maxim Nekrasov from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions, actually. So the first question is regarding the margin trends, and I'm interested in what margin trends do you expect in the full year 2019 in both of your segments, and in discounters in particular, whether you expect to turn break-even in terms of EBITDA based on IFRS 16 in the second half of the year, and what EBITDA do you expect in this segment for the full year? Thank you.
Okay. Margin trend, here we expect in both, in DAR we expect even a stronger trend. We see that in the moment, a very positive trend. You know, we import a lot, and the cooperation in OK, which is very intensified now, we have weekly meetings, gets us very far here. OK, we also expect a positive trend, which we saw in the first in the last couple of months at least, and we are very happy there as well. Regarding EBITDA, in both accounting standards, we do expect towards the end of the year to be positive and definitely next year as well in our discount business.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. My second question is regarding the recent trends, which you said were quite good. And do I understand correctly that like-for-like trends are in the third quarter so far are similar to the second quarter?
Yeah, this is correct. And we even have a little bit better figures in our hypermarket business. We are very happy there. You know, we had a very rough start, to say promptly, in January, February in the hypermarket business, and turn the corner now and have each month positive like-for-like results.
And what do you see driving these improvements compared to the start of the year?
These are the changes we did last autumn. More freshness, concentrating on the fresh side of the business, putting the, you know, fruit and veg, meat, these fresh items into the limelight of the customer, advertising it, making sure that we have stuff available, talking about service with our staff, being more friendly, that helps as well. And freshness means that on the other side, that we should never forget that, that's why we do it, to have more fast customer frequency. Because fresh products you buy weekly, and if you offer the right assortment to the right price, people come more often.
Okay, thank you very much. And my last question is regarding CapEx, and basically what CapEx do you expect this year and maybe next year as well?
Normally we treat this Konstantin Haito. Normally we have CapEx budget of around 5 to 7 billion per year on both formats, and it is quite stable. And usually split is around 50-50 between two formats over the last years.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Once again, participants, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take our next question from Nikolai Kovalev from VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have two questions. My first question is on your discounter format. When you speak about the medium-term rollout and the strategy, I was wondering on what kind of, what share of private label are you going to rely? And as lately we see a growing focus from food retailers in Russia on the private label, do you see that's becoming tougher to negotiate terms with suppliers and work with them. That's the first question. And the second question is on your financials. Can you share with us estimate for consolidated EBITDA or EBITDA margin and the bottom line if we would apply IAS 17 for the first half 19?
Good. First to the discounter business and the private label share. Currently, we have in sales volume nearly 50% of our volume in private labels. We want to keep it like this. On the one side, you know, we have our specialized private label. When we go to new areas, we need to offer a certain amount of brands that people find their used environment, and slowly but steadily they go then and buy our private labels as well. And especially in older stores where we are a couple of years already in the business, we see a much higher private label share already. This is a strategy long term, around 50% of our products in private label. To the negotiation and the possibilities to achieve the prices we want, here we see a very positive trend for us. We are growing. People know that we are in the market. People know that we will stay in the market. This is always a doubt when you are a little startup. Will the mother company pull you through or not? In our case, we proved that we want discounters, and the suppliers do understand this now, and therefore we have better buying conditions and better negotiation standpoints as before. Therefore, it's quite a positive environment.
Regarding your question about IFRS IAS 17 result, actually, management in the beginning of the year decided to switch fully to IFRS 16 numbers, even the annual budget was prepared in accordance with amended standard. That's why we are not fully supporting IAS 17 result. We didn't have any review of IAS 17 numbers, therefore we prepared for you IFRS 16 result for first half 2018 for comparable reasons, and we believe this is the most correct way of looking on the numbers now, because IAS 17 is the best, and supporting of two of parallel formats is something we don't want and don't have to do. We don't think this is right. So please refer to IFRS 16, and if you have any questions, you can ask Anton or myself offline. We are ready to answer.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, participants, if you would like to queue up for a question, press star 1. And we will take our next question from Anna Budko from Aton. Please go ahead.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I just have two quick questions. First is a small clarification. Am I correct to assume that the proceeds from the sale of two land plots in Moscow are presented under other operating income? And the second question, so you had a partnership with Familia to boost sales density in hypermarkets. Can you please update on the partnership results? Thank you.
Regarding the first question, yes, you are correct. The net result of the deal regarding sale of land plots is presented in other operating income and expense. In the respective note in statements.
Regarding the partnership with Familia, we still consider us each other as partners, but on the other hand, we also talk with other partners or future partners to give us the best, depending on the location, the best possible solution. We are quite flexible here, with other words.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Igor Makiev from Raiffeisen Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. Could you explain, please, what's the source of the FX gain in the first half rising from intergroup loans?
Yeah, actually, it's quite easy. We have intergroup loan from Luxembourg to Russian companies, and according to IFRS, forex exchange gains and losses appear on this kind of balances, even though they are intergroup. And if you can see last year figures, we had a huge loss on this this line. This this year we have just better forex for us for this. For this loan, therefore you see a gain. That's it. Pure accounting.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay, thank you. And is it correct to assume that the sensitivity of this FX gain or loss to ruble FX rate will remain as it is now?
Yes, it will remain the same. At least before we will return the money from Russia to Luxembourg, and actually we are not willing to do this in a bigger scale. It's actually more or less internal financing stories for the group, and this rotation maybe will be a little bit less, but not not a lot, depending on the on the on the exchange rate.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
And once again, participants, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We do not have any further questions on the line, speakers. I'd like to turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. To everyone, please get in touch with me if you have any further questions. You know my number and email. Have a good evening. Thanks for joining.
Thanks a lot from everybody here, and have a good evening.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
That will conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect.